Smith Show, unique in the galaxy.
And views expressed on this program are the responsibility of those who make them. They do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, the Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Thanks for being here. Those of you joining us for the very first time tonight, special welcome to you. We're glad you're here. And I hope you get into the habit. It's a great habit to get into. You know, we have had a lot of fun in the past I would say the past 24 hours. It's just been a lot of fun doing the show last night. And then I've got two interviews that I just couldn't get into the show last night, that I'm short interviews that I'm going to play tonight. But it was a lot of fun. I hope you got in on it. For those of you looking for pictures of the event, understand I was the producer, and I was on air, I was interviewing people, and I only had time to shoot two pictures. But those two pictures are on the site. So if you scroll down, just open KevinSmithShow.com, scroll down, and you'll see the little blurb about tonight's show. And there's a link there to the pictures about, from the premiere of Fast Walkers. And there were three young ladies that came over and wanted to meet the director of Fast Walkers while I was interviewing him. So their picture is there. I stopped the interview, snapped a picture, and it's there. So I don't remember their names, but the three young ladies, if you're looking for the picture, that's where it is. Okay, now I've got a couple of things I need to bring to your attention and make sure that you know about them. We have new people who listen every night, and so I always announce, if you are not yet subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, that's our free weekly newsletter. If you're not yet subscribed to that, go over to KevinSmithShow.com, look on the menu where it says K-Files e-zine. Click on that. It takes about 20 seconds to subscribe. And doesn't cost you anything, and it's not only is it free, it's good. It's got good stuff in it. It's our free weekly newsletter. Let me also say that if you have not joined our members area, you really ought to check into doing that. You know, it's $6.95 a month, and I realize some people say, well, I am not going to pay $6.95. Okay, all right, I don't think less of you. But there's more of the Kevin Smith Show, more things, in the members area. There's the forums, chat. All of the shows that we do come through our K-Pods. Eventually, they wind up in our archives. Now, K-Pods, that's podcasts. So for those of you that are into podcasting, that's where you find all of the shows. They come through there. They're up for about a week, and then we put a new batch in, okay? So that's how it works. And, you know, and there's also a library full of e-books that you can download and make them your own. They're absolutely no extra cost, okay? $6.95 a month, lots of stuff in there. And you also get, if you join, a free subscription. By free, I mean it's included in your membership. To the K-Files magazine. The K-Files magazine is our monthly magazine. It's an e-magazine, full color, and you get that if you're a member. So it's a lot of good stuff, and today would be a good day to join. We'll be back right after this.
You know, for quite some time, I have been talking with you about the phenomenal resort accommodations, the Bath Street Apartments, in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. Now it's time for you to see for yourself. Go to KevinSmithShow.com and click the Bath Street banner at the top of the page and see for yourself why Bath Street Apartments should be your next vacation destination. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Now's the perfect time to switch to Dish Network. Make the move today and get 100% digital TV for only $19.99 a month. Free two-room DVR upgrade, free high-def receiver upgrade, number one in the U.S. with 29 high-definition channels, and a free movie package for 3 months. Choose from Starz, Showtime, Cinemax, or HBO. Go to KevinSmithShow.com right now and click on the banner for Dish Network. Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
Hi, this is Gloria Estefan wishing everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is sort of an open line night. It is open line night, but I've got a couple of things, a couple of these interviews that I want to play for you from the premiere of Fast Walkers. Now, you know, I know some of you are probably saying, oh, my God, he's going to talk about Fast Walkers again. But you know what? Really, I mean, you've seen all the documentaries that have come out. So have I. I don't know that I've seen them all, but I've seen a bunch of them. But this one just sort of has a quality about it that I haven't seen in any of the others. In this one, leading voices in ufology, leading voices, by that I mean people who have been out there for years working in ufology, and researching and investigating and bringing information to public view. These are the people that are in Fast Walkers. And it is absolutely one of the best I have ever seen. I mean, it's just done well. It doesn't look like a low-budget film. It's classy. And, you know, we were at the premiere. I don't know why I say we. It was I. Was at the premiere, the world premiere, and had the opportunity to meet many of those people. Most of those people came to the premiere. Even Stephen Bassett, you know, all the way from Washington, D.C. And so, anyway, I had the opportunity to meet them. And it really, really is a good movie, a good film. It's 98 minutes long, and it is jam-packed with information from the beginning to the end. Now, after the showing, and I have to tell you, it was packed. It was packed. I mean, it was standing room only, literally. And people stood in line, you know, for a long time to get in, and a lot of people couldn't even get tickets. And the theater's holding it over now for Thursday, Friday, and I think Saturday. But so that all the people who wanted to get in can get in and see it. It is really a good movie. But after it was over, I had the opportunity to speak to some people that I just didn't have the time in last night's show to get in. One I was really impressed with is a young man by the name of Preston. Now, Preston, I don't know how old he is. He's young. But listen to the answers, the serious answers he gave to some pretty pointed questions.
I've got a young man with me, by the way, who just came out of the movie. What's your name?
Well, my name's Preston Johnson.
Preston Johnson. What do you do for a living, Preston?
I go to school. I play video games. Just any normal kid.
All right. Well, that sounds like a good job. So you went in to see Fast Walkers. What did you think about it?
It was pretty cool, and I myself do believe in extraterrestrial, or whatever you call it. Yeah, I believe in those things, and yeah, it was cool.
Why do you believe in them?
Because I think that just why would God just make one planet and, like, no other species or anything? Like, there has to be other species out there.
All right. Well, I think that makes sense. I mean, it's a big place out there. So did you think this movie had some good information in it?
Yeah, it had a lot of information, and some parts of the movie I'm not sure if I believed or not, but yeah.
Did you get a chance to meet any of these people that were in the movie?
I met Robert, and I think that's it, and Travis.
So you met Travis Walton?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, now he wasn't in the movie, but he was in the movie theater. Watching the movie. He's an exceptional guy, a nice guy, too. What did you think about him?
I thought it was pretty cool because, like, being abducted and just, you think he'd be different, but, you know, just imagine that he was abducted.
So what are you going to tell your buddies at school tomorrow?
I'll be like, hey, I was on the radio and I went worldwide and I saw this cool movie. You should go see it. It's called Fast Walkers.
We're going to play this interview tomorrow night so you can tell your buddies at school, hey, I'm going to be on the radio worldwide tonight. Have them all tune in and listen to you. You sound like a pro. Do you do this often?
No.
Ever done it before?
Yeah, once, I think.
So you plan on doing it again?
Maybe. I don't know if I get a chance. Yeah.
You want to be a DJ?
I don't know, maybe.
Some music you can play here if you want to be a DJ. You want to play some music? All right, tell us all your name again. I know it's Preston, right? Yeah, okay, but tell us your name and what you do for a living.
Preston Johnson, and I go to school, play video games, and...
Yeah, where do you go to school?
Blue Ridge Mid School.
All right, everybody over at Blue Ridge, let's have a round of applause for Preston.
He was a cool kid. He had some pretty good insight, didn't he? You know, it's a big place out there, And I just don't think that it would be, you know, that we're the only people out there, that we're the only people in existence. He mentioned meeting Travis Walton. Now, some of you are going, Travis Walton, Travis Walton. I've heard that name. Where have I heard that name? Travis Walton is the man who was working as a woodcutter, a logger, and he and his buddies that he worked with had, they were finished for the day, and they were leaving the area when they saw a disc floating above a clearing, and so they stopped their truck and were watching it, and Travis got out and walked right up under it and looked up at it and got hit by a blue beam of light. You probably have seen the movie or you've heard Fire in the Sky. The book was written by Travis Walton. He was missing for 5 days. During those 5 days, he was on board an alien spaceship. His friends were under a tremendous amount of pressure from local law enforcement as well as federal FBI. Everyone thought that they had done something to Travis, perhaps killed him. They were asked if they would take lie detector tests. They did. And to the best of my memory, I can't remember all of the details of this, but I think they all passed the lie detector test. But after 5 days, Travis reappeared, and his book is about his experience. Those of you who are about my age remember when this happened. It was big news all over the country. Big, big news all over the country. Travis Walton pretty much flies under the radar these days. He doesn't do the UFO circuit, you know. He has spoken at a couple of conferences. He has written a book about his experiences, but he stays real low-key. And he does so for the sake of his family, and I would suspect for the sake of his own peace and sanity. I don't like to think of myself as part of the media because of my opinion of most of the media. But I am, in fact, part of the media. I am, in fact, media. I bring you information, and I bring you guests that have information. I broadcast, so that makes me part of the media. Now, I've tried for about 2 years to get Travis Walton to come on this show. He's always been very nice, but he's never said no, but he always says, not now, perhaps later. And so it was a great privilege for me last night. I knew he was in the theater. I knew before the thing even started that he was going to be in attendance. But I also knew that he highly values his privacy. And so, sort of under the wire, after the lights were dimmed, he and his wife attended the meeting. They attended the showing of the film. I got a chance to meet him last night, and I did not try to get an interview with him, but I have to tell you, this is one of the most genuinely nice guys you will ever meet. Travis Walton is just a nice person, a nice guy. And, that's all I can say. Just a nice guy. And I truly hope that at some point in the future he will feel comfortable enough to come on this show and talk with us. I think he's got a tremendous story to tell. And the climate has changed. You know, back when this happened, ridicule was in high order. And, it was just... Now, you know, there's not quite so much of that ridicule because the press is beginning to wake up to the fact that they are reporting something in a way that the vast majority of Americans do not agree with. You see, the vast majority of Americans, would you say 70 to 80% is vast majority? I think any politician would call that a vast majority. And so, depends on which poll you look at, but between 70 to 80% of Americans think that UFOs are not something to laugh at. They think that UFOs are real, and they would like to know what they are. And so when the media starts reporting something tongue-in-cheek and you know, making it ridiculous and making it a joke, the media is doing something that is out of step with the vast majority. Now, the vast majority out there are the people that the media depends upon to watch their news shows or to read their magazines or read their newspaper reports. And time after time after time, when they do this ridicule, it just angers the vast majority of America. Now, this is one of the reasons, it's not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons that the main networks, you know, the three big ones, have lost viewers by the boatloads and are continuing to lose them. Whenever you report things in a way, in a fashion that the rest of us out here know is not correct, then we see no value in continuing to watch those news shows or read those newspapers or buy those magazines. Now, that affects the readership, the listenership, and the viewership, the audience. Those numbers affect the dollars that sponsors are willing to spend. And so all of the networks have had budget cuts. All of them have seen their news shows lose money because of the ridiculous mud-sucking intellect with which the whole thing about UFOs and aliens is reported. Now, back when the Travis Walton event happened, back when he was abducted and the whole event happened, the three big networks, the newspapers, the magazines, they were all in full swing of this ridicule and you know, laughing at it and being highly skeptical. Now, to be skeptical means, of course, to approach a situation with the thought in your mind that it's necessary to believe something. And I've said on this show so many times, but for all of you who are new, let me say it again. There's nothing to believe. Absolutely nothing to believe about UFOs, about extraterrestrials, or about anything else. Either something exists or it doesn't. It's that simple. And I've said this, those of you who have heard me say this so many times, forgive me, but I must say it again for those who are new. Do you believe in doorknobs? No. Why? Because you know they exist. Do you believe in Volkswagens? No. Why? Because you know they exist. Do you believe in beer cans? No. Why? Because you know they exist. Things either exist or they don't. They're either real or they're not. There's nothing to believe. And one needs only to protect himself from believing something false if one believes that belief is necessary. It's simply not necessary. It isn't necessary to believe. What is necessary is to look at the evidence, and the evidence says what the evidence says. whether it seems fantastic to you or not, whether it seems logical or not, the evidence says what the evidence says. It doesn't say what people want it to say. It says what it says. Now, I've pointed out also, and I want to do so again, cameras, whether it's a still camera, whether it uses film or is digital, or whether it's video, these things do not photograph someone's hallucinations. They can't. They only photograph things that reflect light. Now, when they photograph something that's in the sky and we don't know what that is, by simple definition, that is a UFO. Now, when I say that, because we have been so programmed, you see, there are people who want you to think a certain way, and they program you to think that way. When I say that if it's in the sky and you don't know what it is, it's a UFO. There are people who automatically think, oh, so you mean this is extraterrestrial? No, I mean it's an unidentified flying object. So you mean there's an alien flying it? No, I mean it's an unidentified flying object. You don't know what the heck it is. Other people around you don't know what the heck it is, but it's in the sky. It's flying. It's unidentified. That's a UFO. Now, it may turn out later that it is a terrestrial, highly futuristic project, you know, that's being tested. It could be that. We don't know. And when we start going into the area of we don't know, and we start filling in the blanks with speculation, that is, we're speculating, we're believing. Now, the evidence says that the debate over whether there are UFOs or not, that debate is over. That's a dead horse. That is absolutely a stupid question. Are there UFOs? That's just stupid. Of course there are UFOs. But what are they? Where do they come from? Is someone flying them? If so, who is that someone? And what is their agenda? What is their purpose? What are they up to? Now, those are the questions that we really need to be asking. There are people that would like to keep us focused on the debate, though, about whether UFOs actually exist. Well, that's like asking me, do you believe that doorknobs exist? Good grief. Get another brain cell. That's stupid. I mean, really, you can do better than that. UFOs exist. What are they? Are they alien? I don't know. That doesn't mean I don't have an opinion. But I don't know. And there's a difference between having an opinion and knowing. Now, sometimes people say, I know this is true. Well, they say it really meaning that they have an extremely strong belief that it's true and there's no doubt in their mind, but they don't actually know. Knowledge comes from evidence. Knowledge comes from evidence. Have you touched one? Have you been inside one? Have you flown on one? Then you would know. But until then, we have speculations. So it's not, you know, these days ridicule is not in full swing like it was. It's still out there, you know. The stupid you have with you always, 1 Kevin 4:12. But look, there's not as much ridicule as there used to be. Most people understand and realize that there are UFOs. Don't know what they are, but they are out there. And with that in mind, I certainly hope that perhaps at some point in the future we can get Travis Walton to come and talk with us. We'll be back on the other side of this break, and we have an interview with Wendell Stevens. Thank you.
Now's the perfect time to switch to Dish Network. Make the move today and get 100% digital TV for only $19.99 a month. Free two-room DVR upgrade, free high-def receiver upgrade, number one in the U.S. with 29 high-definition channels, and a free movie package for 3 months. Choose from Starz, Showtime, Cinemax, or HBO. Go to KevinSmithShow.com right now and click on the banner for Dish Network. Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet?
No?
Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today. Building a website? Settle for nothing but the best. iPowerWeb. You're hearing me now because I use iPowerWeb. Click the iPowerWeb banner on KevinSmithShow.com and trust me, there is not a better web host on the planet.
We must inform you that Kevin Smith has lost his mind. Business owners and advertising executives take advantage of Kevin's temporary nutty frame of mind. He is willing to invest $2,550 in you to introduce you to the very high value of advertising on The Kevin Smith Show. For details, email advertising@kevinsmithshow.com and just say, "Send me the package." We think he's gone nuts, but why not benefit from it?
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. You know, all of that I just said, I have said many times before. I'm not a person who just leaps to believe everything that comes down the pike. I don't believe anything. I'm quite comfortable in saying either I know or I don't know. And when I say I don't know, that doesn't mean I disbelieve it. It means I have an open mind and I'm looking for more evidence. And I think that that is what is needed throughout the world of ufology. It amazes me, the people that I talk to, the people, the guests that I have on, when I bring this up, they fully agree with it. They fully agree that, yes, that's exactly what we need. We need people to go out and investigate and nail down evidence and just speak to the evidence. But it seems like in the world of ufology followers, there are many people out there who are part of a group that are sort of religious about UFOs. And man, if you don't believe what they believe, you get all kinds of scorching email. No, believe me, I get this. Okay? I get this. I get email from people on many sides of an issue where they just are speaking with religious fervor that you must believe this. Well, no, I must not. I don't have to believe anything, and I don't. I do know some things. Most things, I have to say, I don't know. Let's keep investigating. Now, does that mean I have no opinion? Yeah, I have an opinion. Personal opinion about it. Yeah, I've got that, just like anybody else does. But when we're talking about something that could be the biggest event, I mean, you know, the biggest secret, if you will, ever, you know, I think it's important to just say the truth. And the truth is, there are a lot of people believing a lot of things, but when it comes to what we actually know very little. Folks, we actually know very little even about this planet. We know very little about this world that we live on, and we know even less about the planets and worlds and star systems away from here. What we know is absolutely microscopic compared to what there is to know. Well, I want to play for you this interview that I had with Wendell Stevens. Now, Wendell is someone that I have seen on television and documentaries, and you have too, for many years, and I had the opportunity to sit down with him and talk with him and to get these comments.
All right, folks, Fast Walkers is over. The world premiere is over. Fast Walkers is not over, but the world premiere is over. And I've just had such tremendous opportunities this evening to meet people that, you know, I've seen on television, I've seen in documentaries, I've heard on radio, I've read things they've written, and I've read things written about them. And one of the real giants in UFO studies, research, ufology, if you will, is Wendell Stevens. What a tremendous pleasure it is. Wendell, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate this.
You are one of the reasons I got interested in UFOs. You and some others. I had the chance tonight to meet Travis Walton. He was here.
He's a very fine man.
Yeah, he is. And just a genuine nice guy. I mean, through and through, just a nice guy.
Yeah, you know, I was involved in the investigation of his case before he returned, while he was still aboard the spacecraft. We came up here with Jim and Lorenzen to talk to the police, the sheriff's department, about the missing man. They were about to accuse his colleagues, his co-woodcutters, of murder. And we'd seen such things as this before, and we wanted to be sure that they weren't falsely accusing somebody. And while we were checking in Lo Cholo, Travis returned and went down to Phoenix, stayed with his brother. So I was in on the investigation when it originally happened, and I know that it happened. And we had a lot of first-hand evidence. We wrote several articles on it, and then Travis wrote his own book on the subject, and it's a very good book. It's very well written for an amateur writer. Well done.
You know, unfortunately, he kind of tries to keep a very low profile now. And I started to say, unfortunately, I think it's because not just media attention, but a whole lot of negative media attention. And you were involved in that. Did you get some of the splash over from that negative attention?
No, we were dealing with the facts that we were studying when they started making the movie Fire in the Sky. We saw them changing the data, corrupting the information for sensational purposes. They called it, they said they needed to make the picture entertaining. Man, it was so entertaining the way it was, it didn't need any manipulation. But they did it, and Travis didn't like it, and we didn't like it, and the Fire in the Sky came out. And it's too bad, because it was a very legitimate and real case.
Now, your background, our audience is in 70 countries. Everyone in America knows Wendell Stevens. But I'm not sure that everyone in Thailand knows, or everyone in Australia, or everyone in Northern Europe knows. Tell us quickly, if you will, just your background.
Okay, I am a retired fighter pilot, American Air Force fighter pilot. I was assigned to the Air Technical Intelligence Center at Wright Field, where all of our new aircraft were developed at the time of the Roswell crash. And I was not involved in the need-to-know loop at that time, but other people in my same office were, which I found out later. I got involved because after that assignment, I was rotated to Alaska to a new job. When I got up there, I found I was supervising a team of our own civilian technicians from Wright Field again, installing special equipment aboard the B-29s, flying their target profile missions on their targets in Russia. And we were installing special equipment aboard those B-29s, because they were going to be up there for 16 hours, to look for evidence of this anomalous aerial phenomena, is what it was called there. And we launched B-29s every night, sometimes more than one, but we only had an incident about two or three times a month. But over a year, there was a few darn good stories that came out of that, such as a 200-foot diameter disc sitting on the ice pack that took off and flew away ahead of the approaching B-29, leaving no equipment, no stains of any kind on that, nothing. The ice was perfectly clean after it left. Now, when we launched the B-29, it had a sea of equipment around it, bigger than the B-29, oil stains, hydraulic stains, gas stains all over the snow. And here was something that could launch itself without any support equipment and fly away, and it was bigger than the B-29. And I thought that was really remarkable. Other time, another case, they reported approaching one sitting on the water, and as the B-29 got closer, it simply submerged and disappeared underwater, didn't come out. Another one took off from the water and flew away at high speed. We had cases where, a case where one got in close proximity with the B-29. It was behind the big wing and ahead of the small wing and about 50 feet out. And it stayed there for 2 or 3 minutes, and it caused electrical disturbances, radio frequency disturbances. The ambient heat in the inside of the airplane went up in a number of degrees. And all the instruments that we put aboard, they got hand camera pictures, 4x5 press camera pictures, 35mm camera pictures, and 16mm camera pictures of that event. But at the end of the day, when the airplane came back, the crews were separated, debriefed, their statements transcribed, typed up, packed together with the film cartridges, rolls of tape and cassettes and everything, packed in a metal box, chained to an officer's wrist, and flown to Washington that night. That was a routine procedure. When an event happened, that's how it was taken, how it was handled.
And did you ever hear anything back from them?
Well, you know, I tried to make copies of some things for myself, and I got caught doing it, and they criticized me severely. They told me that was all government property, that I couldn't do anything with it without severe penalties. However, they said, whatever you investigate on your own time and own effort, you can do whatever you want to with. Just give us reports on what you're doing. So that's how I got started investigating these cases, was following up on good cases that I thought had more information in them, and I found scads of more information in every one of them.
You know, Wendell, that's one of the things that I've said on this show, and I've been criticized for it, is that, okay, so there's all this stuff that's been locked away, but you can't get all of it. There's plenty of information out there that we can still investigate. Do you agree with that?
Well, yes, I think so. I don't belong to any UFO organization. I work alone, and I have 3 rooms in my house full of collected material. If I can do that alone, imagine what a government can do, where every government employee is a potential collector. They've got to have hangers full of material on the subject.
But even with those hangers full of information, assuming they're there, there's still hangers of information that hasn't been investigated yet.
I'm sure that a lot of it has not been investigated. Some of it has. Some of it has been investigated more profoundly than I can do it. I'm told that the reason they don't release anything is because it's a national security matter. And it's a national security matter in the sense that we all have residue and we all have stories and collected information. A little bit that we have might simply close somebody else's puzzle in Russia or China or someplace else. So we don't let them know anything about anything we're doing, and they do the same thing to us. So everybody is sitting on what he's got to keep from helping the other one solve his problems. And that's where we are, at a standoff with everybody in the world on this, because releasing any information might give any potential enemy a hand up on you.
A couple of governments have begun to let information out. Now, one of them is in Brazil, and one of them is Mexico. When the film came out recently, it was a Mexican Air Force plane that they got something on their radar, got a hit on the radar, and then they couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
With their eyes, and they turned on the FLIR, which is infrared, and they filmed all over the sky. Now, a lot of people have criticized that and come up with different stories, but I said on this show, you watch, as soon as that came out, I said, watch what will happen in the media. The media is going to start spinning this, and as they do, I'll point it out to you. Well, they did. They started talking about the Mexican pilots saw some fast-moving lights, and they didn't see any lights. They saw nothing.
Yeah, well, they captured on film, but it was captured on infrared film.
Right. So there wasn't any bright lights. It was heat signatures.
Heat signatures is what they captured down there. But the Mexican government has a policy of publishing good UFO reports in their newspapers. Everybody in the country is aware of them. We don't do that here. Our newspapers don't publish anything like that. They, they're told that it's not newsworthy and forget about it.
The Brazilian government has recently begun, within the past couple of years or so, releasing information to the UFO investigators down there in Brazil. A.J. Givard.
It's like this UFO magazine in Brazil. It's a bigger country than the United States. And the Brazilian government called him in and said, we're going to open the files. You can read anything you want, write anything you want. We're tired of this suppression. And they inferred that that our government, the American government, was trying to keep them from releasing any information. And they were kind of winking at it. And they gave Givard free access to their files. That was the third country that did it. The first country was Spain when they did it years ago, and we evidently persuaded them to back off, and they quit. The Norwegian government was going to do it one time, and we, both American and British agents, went in there and persuaded the Norwegians not to release the information on the German UFO progress that resulted in a crash on Spitsbergen Island owned by Norway, and they went in and recovered the remains and found German markings and numbers all over pieces of the crashed vehicle. Release that, but our intelligence people from America and England persuaded them not to release anything and removed the people that did the investigation so nobody could find them. Colonel Darnville disappeared, and nobody's found him since.
Now, that's the first time I've heard that. I've heard most of the UFO stories, but that one's new to me. It was, and this was post-World War II?
It happened right after World War II. The Germans succeeded in developing flying discs during World War II. They got the first test vehicles flying in 1943.
All right, folks, we're up against a break here in just a few seconds, and what we're going to do is continue. We'll pick up right there with Wendell Stevens, and continue with this very interesting interview that we had with him. And then, when we come back in the next hour, it's open line. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. And that can be UFOs, it can be psychic phenomena, ghosts, strange and unexplained happenings, ancient civilizations, whatever you want. We'll be back.
Website, settle for nothing but the best. iPowerWeb. You're hearing me now because I use iPowerWeb. Click the iPowerWeb banner on KevinSmithShow.com and trust me, there is not a better web host on the planet. Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com. Now's the perfect time to switch to Dish Network. Make the move today and get 100% digital TV for only $19.99 a month. Free two-room DVR upgrade, free high-def receiver upgrade, number one in the U.S. with 29 high-definition channels, and a free movie package for 3 months. Choose from Starz, Showtime, Cinemax, or HBO. Go to KevinSmithShow.com right now and click on the banner for Dish Network. Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet? No? Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're listening to my interview with Wendell Stevens. Let's continue.
and by 1940, the end of 1944, they had a few operational Hanabutus that were apparently used one time. I had a letter from a Polish researcher who was heavily involved in these kinds of investigations that told me that in one of the carpet bombing raids, and I think it was on the Plassey oil fields, but I'm not sure, we had 800 bombers in the sky and a big ribbon of bombers at one night, and the Germans shot down one-fourth of them, 200 bombers and crews. And that was the only night they used the Hanabus, and they used six of them. And the following week, they were taken out of Germany and never returned. So one has to wonder who's controlling these wars. The Germans were turning the tide with their Hanabus at that time.
So what do you think about the UFOs that are seen in the skies above us today? Are they terrestrial or extraterrestrial?
I think some are terrestrial, and most of them are extraterrestrial. The ones that I choose to inspect or to investigate are all extraterrestrial because the occupants are quite different from us. They're not like us at all. They're not Earth humans. They're very different. And so for the cases I spend my time on, they're all extraterrestrial. There are other cases of contact that may involve Earth-built vehicles from one place or another that I don't investigate because I am particularly interested in alien extraterrestrial contact with us.
So after all of these years of investigating, on a scale of 1 to 10, how convinced are you, with 10 being absolutely convinced, how convinced are you that the extraterrestrials exist and are visiting this planet?
I'm more than 100% convinced. I've been working at this for over 60 years, and I have a mountain of evidence, highly convincing evidence, that they in fact do exist, substantially as reported, and that the ones that I am investigating are truly extraterrestrial.
What do you think their mission is?
They're doing the same thing we would do if we discovered another inhabited planet. They observe us for a time, sometimes even years. Then they make an approach. Then they make some limited contact. Then they develop a contactee who they collect information from and impart information to. And this has been going on. In my mind, it's been going on as long as Earth humanity has been here. It didn't just start yesterday or 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago. It's been here as long as humanity has been on this planet.
I get nervous when I hear collecting information. Should we be wary of these extraterrestrials?
You know, there's all shades of gray out there. Most of them that I've investigated were entirely benevolent. I've heard of a few hostile cases. And so I'm sure that there are some, but the far majority are benevolent beings that are interested in contacting us simply to learn more about us and what we're doing.
The ones that have ill will with their seemingly very superior technology, isn't that something we should worry about?
Well, yes, we should. But we have friends that are helping us unseen, other extraterrestrial entities that are trying to keep them from achieving their objectives. There's one group here from another alien society that seeks to genetically manipulate Earth humans to produce fighters for them because they've lost the belligerence that we have. In their evolution, they have lost their ability to fight successfully, and they're genetically manipulating Earth humans to create surrogates to do their fighting for them. And this takes a lot of time. It takes a number of generations. So whether they will succeed or not, we don't know. But there are other alien extraterrestrial entities that are doing their best to frustrate these efforts and stop them from doing this. Now, they don't destroy each other, and they don't wipe each other out. But there is a conflict in the extraterrestrial contact between those who want to frustrate those plans and those who want to help us mature in our own society, we eventually travel to space and join the Interplanetary Confederation.
Some time ago, I heard that you were retiring, and you substantially have given up doing interviews.
I only do one or two a year now.
What made you decide to be a part of this movie, Fast Walkers?
Well, I didn't know that they were making a movie. The people that produced the movie interviewed me a year and a half, 2 years ago. But I get a lot of interviews. I didn't know where it was going. I was surprised to see the interview in the movie here because I didn't remember exactly where or when it was done. But the answers, I still stand by the answers I gave them at that time in those interviews.
What did you think of the overall project when you saw it here tonight?
I thought they did a marvelous job of putting it together and trying to make a point. The point that the government is hiding information, that they're not going to tell us that something else is going to happen that will force the hand.
You've been doing this now for about 60 years, is that what you said?
60 years, yeah. I'm 83 years old.
Well, I have to say, you don't look 83.
Thank you.
Of course, I don't look 18 either, do I? I've got a lot of miles on me for 18, Wendell.
Yeah.
After 60 years of doing this, are you hopeful that we're going to get to a point where there is disclosure?
I am sure that we will. I don't know when it's going to be. We're not going to get to that point under the present policies and regime. We're going to need a change someplace for that to happen. But I'm absolutely convinced it eventually will. And that we will be welcoming extraterrestrial visitors to this planet officially and joining them. And they'll help us in our technological evolution so we can travel in space someday, too, if we don't destroy our planet first. There's that possibility, always.
Do you think we're going to get to a point where we will have the technology necessary to travel to other star systems like they do?
Yes, I'm convinced that we will reach that point. And the ones that come here all passed mile marker a long time ago. Those that come here that we get history on have had a evolutionary development, something like ours, and have overcome the problems. And I'm sure that with good intelligence and proper thinking, we can overcome the problems too. What we have to worry about is the radicals that want to frustrate the plan and will do anything to do it.
Well, the Earth has no shortage of radicals.
We've got plenty of radicals here.
Yeah, maybe we could export those to other planets, plant them in colonies somewhere, and if they don't kill each other, we can come back and see them in about 1,000 years.
You know, we've had several extraterrestrial entities tell us that Earth was such a colony at one time, where cast-offs from other planets were sent here so they couldn't leave. And that's one of the reasons why we have a variety of races and species on this planet.
So we were a prison planet.
That's what they allege, yes.
That's not very flattering.
No, it's like Australia was a prison continent at one time.
Wendell, I want to thank you for being with me. And, man, you have done such marvelous work over the years. You know, I hope you don't quit.
I'm not quitting. I'm enjoying this. I like where it's going. I think we're going to have disclosure just like this movie is trying to urge people. They're trying to urge us to face the facts and do the right thing. And I think that's going to happen.
My pleasure in having you on the show, and a pleasure to meet you finally.
Thank you very much, sir.
And thus concludes my interview with Wendell Stevens. You know, it really is amazing when you get around these people to discover the immense amount of information and the wealth of knowledge that they have. There are always people who say they know something, but then there are people who can produce evidence to back up what they say. And it was just a great privilege to get to meet these people in person. Some of them I've had on the show. Charles Hall, for instance, was there, and we interviewed him. You know, when you stand and talk with Charles Hall, you become instantly aware of the fact that this is a guy who is brilliant. I mean, really brilliant. And when he comes on the show and talks to us about the tall whites that he met and interacted with, you know, there's a great deal more to him than that story. And the next time we have him on, I'm going to ask him to explain some things in physics about how the extraterrestrials mitigate the force of gravity inside the spaceship. It's fascinating. I heard that at breakfast. All right, folks, we'll be back. When we do come back, we're opening the phone lines just for you, 1-800-289-1092.
Website? Settle for nothing but the best. iPowerWeb. You're hearing me now because I use iPowerWeb. Click the iPowerWeb banner on KevinSmithShow.com and trust me, there is not a better web host on the planet. Now's the perfect time to switch to Dish Network. Make the move today and get 100% digital TV for only $19.99 a month. Free two-room DVR upgrade, free high-def receiver upgrade, number one in the U.S. with 29 high-definition channels, and a free movie package for 3 months. Choose from Starz, Showtime, Cinemax, or HBO. Go to KevinSmithShow.com right now and click on the banner for Dish Network. Yeah, Josh.
You're talking about if the aliens are indifferent or not?
Yeah.
This is going to sound really off the wall.
Okay.
And I'm kind of thinking about if these things...
Yeah, are... 1 minute, and it's the end of the show. There's nothing I can do about it.
Okay. If they're living, and they can live, and they can die...
Mm-hmm.
If they come at you, and adjust you, or anything like that, as crazy as this might sound, try to fend yourself off one, kill it, and if they're still around... As crazy as this might sound, eat it, and they'll leave you alone. If they're living in their animals, eat it. I'm being serious.
Oh, my God. I don't know. Thanks, Josh. I don't know if I could stand the thought.
You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring 5 of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles and free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Well, we call it the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you who are just now joining us in the second hour, welcome aboard. We are glad you are here. And I told you this hour we'll go to the telephones, and we shall right now. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent.
Two things, really.
Okay.
From your interview with the guy who just was on,
mm-hmm.
The problem with the radicals in America is they're free radicals.
Oh, okay. I'll ride with it for a moment. Go ahead.
No, that was just a comment on that.
Oh, okay.
Now, last week, I think it was last Friday, you had Michael and Jeff on there about the Billy Meyer photos?
Yes.
I only have one problem with Jeff's thing about the hazing.
Okay.
Hazing is a function of humidity and particulate matter in the air. Now, you live out in a desert area, and I'm pretty sure that you can go out there on a clear day when there's very low humidity and very low particulate matter and see for hundreds of miles.
Well, you can see to the horizon.
Yeah. Up here in Wyoming, on a clear day, you can stand on the top of the mountains, on top of Bighorn Mountains on a clear day when there's low humidity and see Devil's Tower, and that's over 200 miles away.
Okay.
And then there are places like in Phoenix, Arizona, where you are, in Los Angeles and Denver and other cities, you can't see three blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So his hazing argument that when he says the hazing is his main complaint, it all depends on the atmospheric conditions.
I can buy that. I can also buy what he says or buy nothing because, you know, I personally know nothing about photography. But I understand what you're saying because it is true on a clear day here, if you're up on top of a mountain, you can see a long way.
Mm-hmm. And so far as Mike was concerned, I really do wish he hadn't kept bringing up the fact that Billy only has one hand. Because I only have one hand that works, too, and I can do an awful lot with one hand.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. One of the emails I got, Brent, made the same comment, but it said, yeah, he's just got one hand, but he is a farmer. He's able to farm, and so he must be rather capable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true. He's got the use of one hand, but he's able to farm.
He's adapted over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So
how do you think it comes down? Which side do you come down on?
I can see both their arguments. It's just that some of Jeff's arguments don't hold enough water for me to go with them. So I'm gonna say I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where I sit. I think you probably could predict that because I know you listen to the show a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, you know, I don't know. I think you make a couple of valid points. On the hazing, again, you know, I don't know because of the fact that I know nothing about
photography.
I know how to hold the camera up and push the button. And even that doesn't turn out well sometimes. Okay, Brent, thanks for the call. Folks, 1-800-289-1092 is toll-free throughout the continental United States and Canada. If you live outside of that area, send me a flash message. Send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. A flash message is just an email. And the address is flash@kevinsmithshow.com. Now, if you send it to any of our other email addresses, I appreciate it, but I won't see it until after the show. So if you want me to see it during the show, you got to send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. I don't know. You know, the Billy Meyer case has been around for a long time. And, back when I was young, had hair and it had color. The Billy Meyer case was around. And after all these years, I on that one, I just have to say, I don't know. I do have an opinion. I won't give it on the show. I do have a personal opinion. But as far as, you know, I just don't know. I don't know. It's an intriguing case. And there are experts on both sides of the issue. I'm not an expert, so I don't know. Let me urge you to do something. If you have not been over to my website, if you forget the telephone number, go to my website. The website is kevinsmithshow.com. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Just go over there and the telephone number, if you scroll down the page, you'll see the telephone number posted. Let me give it again,
1092. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from, please?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Yes, Debbie.
Thanks for reporting from Sholo yesterday. I thought it was very interesting that you could talk to some of the folks that were in Fast Walkers on live, and many of them had very interesting comments to talk about, especially Elliot Maynard. He had a very lot of good points that he brought up about global warming and what can be done at, you know, the individual level of trying to getting involved in getting this problem taken care of. So I was especially interested in what he had to say. And
let me butt in for just a second and say, I was really amazed at the way he talked about all of these very low-tech, low-cost things we can do ourselves that will make a big impact on the ecology.
And so I thought it was something out of the norm that you normally don't do, but I found it very interesting and fun and educational to listen to.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, it is tied into this whole realm of ufology, because many of the people who say they have been contacted by or abducted by or whatever, extraterrestrials, say that that's the message that they get from the extraterrestrials is, hey, wake up, you know, you're killing your planet, you got to stop this stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. I can't say in my contact experience that it was like that. I mean, I don't recall any message like that, but I feel that there is probably a reason why that I was contacted, and like I said, I was, the second time around, I feel I was blessed with the ability to heal. I mean, I can metaphysically heal, and I think for some of us it's that, and for others it's the message, as you said, wake up, we need to us humans need to take care of Mother Earth, because this is all we've got right now until, you know, we can go out into space. And I think other contactees and abductees also have maybe both messages coming to them, you know, that they are given a gift by either being abducted or contacted by the space beings who are doing this, the star people that are doing this. And they also have a gift that they can share with the others in the world.
Well, since you liked the interview that I did with Elliot Maynard, you'll be pleased to know that I have that on my schedule now to try and get him for a whole show.
Well, that'll be great. It'll be great to listen to him.
Very brilliant man, by the way.
Oh, he is. Very, very. I mean, he was just very articulate and very intelligent in the ideas and suppositions that he had to offer for trying to take care of global warming and all these other environmental problems that we have right now.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned to him that I've heard from a lot of people, you know, this is the cause or that is the cause of global warming, but it seems to me that it's not this or that. It's a confluence of many causes. And I really liked what he had to say about that. You know, he said it's like a wave on top of a wave on top of a wave. That it is, you know, it's many causes.
Definitely. Your interview, Wendell Stevens is another interesting individual. I went to the UFO World Congress in Laughlin, Nevada earlier this year, and Wendell was there, and he talked a little bit about what his experiences were, but also Brent brought up your interview with Michael and
Jeff.
And Jeff, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff was not there last this year, but Michael was, and I tend to believe that the pictures that Billy took are authentic. I mean,
a lot of people do. I still stick with I don't know, and I would say that about everyone's photographs, because I'm not a photographic expert.
Well, I know a little bit about photography. My dad was doing this in the Air Force back in the late 50s, right around the time that I was born, and He was actually stationed at Rickenbacker here in Columbus, and he was the head Photoshop guy, and he did a lot of things with photos and stuff. He actually showed me darkroom techniques and things like that. So I tend to believe that the pictures that Michael was presenting at his presentation, his lecture at the UFO World Congress, are actually authentic. I mean, from what I could see, my thing is, I kind of tend to believe, why would Billy Meyer go through the trouble of, you know, taking these pictures and putting them together and having them, published, having them manufactured, and then wanting to set himself up for ridicule? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, that would be...
that's kind of like, you know, trying to figure out, well, why is the horse on the other side of the pasture? Well, if you go and look, there might be a number of reasons. The fence might be knocked down, there might not be a fence, or he might have jumped the fence.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, to me, it would just be kind of ridiculous for Billy Meyer to have all this information and this knowledge and these pictures that he's taken of the Pleiades, and it just wouldn't make any sense to me, you know, for him to doctor them up or have them doctored up in some way. And this spaceship here can't be here because of the tree line. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, when I looked at the pictures, to me, they looked genuine. They looked authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I mean, I'm sure Jeff is an expert in his field, but just because you're an expert in a specific field doesn't mean that you're the be-all and the know-all of it. And
well, that's true. And in fairness, now I don't think he says he is.
Jeff, this is nothing personal against Jeff. I just tend to believe that Michael's presentation of Billy Meyer's contact with the Pleiades and also the pictures that he's taken have to be authentic. They can't be anything else.
All right. I'll buy that. As you know, like I say, I don't know. But I can certainly appreciate where you're coming from, and I don't think you're wrong. I just, personally, I don't know.
Okay.
But thanks for the call.
Well, thank you. Have a good night.
All right. All right, folks, 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092. And let me say this, and this is certainly not a reflection on Jeff or on Michael, but after that interview, I got emails from people who are on both sides of the fence demanding that I come down on one side or the other. Well, you're wasting demands, my friends. That will not happen. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Trey in Atlanta.
Well, hello, Trey in Atlanta.
How you doing? This is a great show as usual. And
well, thank you.
As far as the Billy Meyer deal, that's something I never really looked into. The only information I've gathered on this from where I did the debate the other night, and I looked some of the stuff up. And the interesting thing I thought about the skeptic was how he was willing to quote his science buddy or whatever who said it, you know, kind of said it was some kook out there, but you know, also who said that, you know, if it was fakes, that this guy was a really good at faker, and he didn't think that he would know all the things that he would need to know to do these fakes. And I think what you're having there is they want to have their cake and eat it too, because this guy here out in the middle of the boondocks is the same people that they condescend and make fun of as a bunch of, you know, hayseed out in the middle of the boondocks. And, mm-hmm. you know, so we're going to say that they're that clever also, so you can't really take both of those. And so
what you're saying is either it's got to be one way or the other.
Yeah.
You can't merge that as a disclaimer.
Yeah, there's also the scientist, the comment that the guy said the scientist made was, well, I couldn't believe that he was, you know, doing this or that. So basically, you know, this or that is impossible, but, you know, gee, I'd like to know how he faked it. And as far as our Earth goes, I think the failure of human is probably the way we treat each other, not the environment, because I think if we could treat each other better, then we would be able to have all these new technologies and stuff. But I think the aliens, you know, clearly understand that we're not ready for any of this stuff. And, you know, for them to be preaching to us about, you know, not using gasoline or whatever, when they know there's no way that we could possibly survive anything above that, not the way we are now. And it was one thing I wanted to mention to you, Kevin, mm-hmm. is you talk about the subject a lot, and that's Planet X. And I've always been interested in the similarities of the Sumerian stories and the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I was thinking about. Maybe what happened, the Sumerians were right. They came down. They weren't supposed to really do what they did, or for the reasons, or whatever the reason was. And maybe the Bible is them coming back to correct it. Because if you look at the Bible, after the Bible, everything that early man was told by visitors from the stars, we figured out on our own. So it's like the Bible that came and they did another genetic upgrade and gave us the Bible, the Guide to Living. And I was wondering if you could maybe comment on that and tell me what you think about that possibility of them. That was just them coming back to correct the mistakes they made earlier and try to get us ready for the future.
Well, first, before I do that, let me ask you, have you read my book?
Oh, yes, I once.
Okay.
You can probably read it again.
Okay. As for, is the Bible an account of them coming back? I don't think so, because the Bible starts out with in the beginning. And so I think what we're getting there is, in Genesis, is the account as Moses had heard it and understood it. It is the same story that the Sumerians gave us. It's in a different language, so the names are different. I don't see any substantial difference between the Sumerian story and Genesis. Now, a lot of people are going to get theological about that, and I'm not.
Okay.
The stories are substantially the same. Now, you have to understand that Moses is a descendant of Abraham. Now, when I say this, theologians, or people who think they are, generally send me email and say, well, you know, that it wasn't just Moses. There were probably four or five different people that wrote Genesis. Okay, I'll buy that. Whoever they are descendants of Abraham. And Abraham is from Ur of the Chaldees, who inherited that land over a period of time from the Akkadians, who inherited that same land over a period of time from the Sumerians. And if you look at Akkadian literature, if you look at Chaldean literature, the same stories from the Sumerians exist in Akkadian and in Chaldean. Now, Abraham was a Chaldean, and his descendants are the people we know as Hebrews, and that's who wrote Genesis. So the stories are substantially the same, from my understanding of it.
Yeah, you've read into this a lot more than I have. I was just wondering because, you know, I figured, you know, if maybe, because I've heard that mentioned that they, you know, did something they weren't supposed to. They weren't supposed to come here and make slave race to mine gold, and even though they were going to, you know, teach us this, that, and the other, and maybe that was just, you know, they went and had a meeting, so what are we going to do about this? They're already too far along. They're going to be, you know, in a situation we're going to have to deal with them one way or other. Maybe it was just them coming back to correct a wrong. But because you figured this one thing, Kevin, if it is them coming back, they know one thing, that when we land again, even if the same ones aren't alive as were then, we're going to call them gods. So if they had a story cooked up, they said, okay, this is, you know, and this is the way you need to live, and maybe they could have, you know, said this is a story, or I don't know, but I'm sure that if this wasn't the first planet they've come to, well, then almost every culture similar to us calls them gods, so they've probably run across this before. Maybe they've got one story that they tell us each plant that whenever they, each species comes to this stage, say, this is the story we're going to do, this is the best story that we've told them to get them ready for, you know, the future, to make it they can move on and learn and live out here with us, since they're so close anyways.
Hmm.
But
well, it's a good thought. I don't know. But
okay.
A good thought. Trey,
hey,
thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kevin.
You bet. All right. Interesting stuff there, huh? You see, people in the Kevin Smith Show audience are thinkers. They're not couch potatoes. And they have ideas and thoughts, and and they wonder about things, and that's the way we learn, that's the way we grow. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, please, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. This is Roy in Roanoke, Virginia.
Well, hello, Roy. Are you a first-time caller?
No, this is my second time calling.
Okay. All right. I didn't recall, but I am glad you called. What's on your mind?
I just want to make a comment about the Billy Meyer conversation y'all are having.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to last Friday's also.
Mm-hmm.
The question I have is, what other photos that Michael Horn is not showing of Billy Myers? I mean, there's other supposedly photos that Billy Myers is taken of, especially
mm-hmm.
one I find that's completely bogus.
Okay.
And there's a couple websites. I don't want to mention it over the airwaves, but...
It's okay. Go ahead and mention it.
UFOwatchdog.com.
Okay.
There's supposedly a photo of one of the aliens, supposedly, with a ray gun.
All right.
I think Jeff tried to bring it up last Friday, but Michael Horn didn't give him a chance to say anything about it.
Okay, well,
and
what about it?
To me, it's completely fake. I mean, I'm not arguing that he may have a UFO experience, but some of the photos do look fake.
Okay.
I'm not a debunker. As a matter of fact, I quite believe in UFOs. But, you know, it's just that some of them are just, you could tell that they are models. I've worked with models most of my life, and I can tell a model when I see one.
And so what do you think is the model now, the alien in the picture or the ray gun, or both?
Well, yeah, the ray gun, for one, it looks like a completely normal human hand holding the ray gun in a 1970s disco outfit. That's what it looks like. And it only shows the left portion of the alien, supposedly.
Okay.
But that's a question you might want to ask Michael next time you have him on your show.
What was the purpose of this ray gun? Do you know the story behind the ray gun? What does it do?
No, I don't know exactly. I'm looking at the website right now. But it was just one of the photos that was that he has. You could see the mountains in the background and so on. I don't know what the number of the photo was, but it's, to me, it looks very focused.
Okay. And you, if I understood you correctly, you are a photo analyst?
No, I'm an IT personnel.
Okay.
I'm not an expert. I'm average Joe, really.
Okay.
You know, born in West Virginia. I'm around mountains all the time, you know. And some of them looks authentic, yes. I believe that he may had an experience. But you have to also look at the literature that the man is putting out. Back from where I'm from, that's a cult.
All right. Well, Roy, I'm on neither side of the issue. I find it interesting because I had not heard of this photo. I will have to go and take a look at it. I'll do that after the show tonight.
Sure. It's UFOwatchdog.com.
Okay.
And you may have to go to one of the part of its UFO Hall of Shame, and it has a picture of Billy Myers there and Michael Horn and so some of the other people.
Now, do you think that we will ever get to a point, Roy, where we can say about the Meyer case that we know? Do you think we're going to get to that point, or is it always going to be sort of in the shadows?
No, you're not going to. As a matter of fact, I think it's old news. We should be more focused on things that's happening now.
I do agree that it is old news, except that Billy Meyer is saying that he's continuing to have contact.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those contacts and any newer photos, I think we should focus on more than the older stuff. But I haven't, no. But he is saying that he has contact.
And that's why I get off where, you know, Michael Horn is, putting all this literature out and so on about this. And to me, it's totally, you know, a cult mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as a matter of fact, what is Michael Horn's specialty? What is his job?
I don't know. But let me tell you, we're up against a break. Do you want to hold through the break?
I'm at work right now.
All right, well, look, Roy, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Interesting. I had not heard of this photo. I will take a look at it. And you should as well, I guess. We'll be back.
Humans have built a glorious civilization. We have spanned the globe with cities that reach the sky. And it's all going to end in the blink of an eye. So frightening, you'll wish it wasn't real.
Survival is going to be everybody's priority.
The Horizon Project. Order now at thehorizonproject.com or call toll free 866-607-8439.
Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet? No? Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today. Now's the perfect time to switch to Dish Network. Make the move today and get 100% digital TV for only $19.99 a month. Free two-room DVR upgrade, free high-def receiver upgrade, number one in the U.S. with 29 high-definition channels, and a free movie package for 3 months. Choose from Starz, Showtime, Cinemax, or HBO. Go to KevinSmithShow.com right now and click on the banner for Dish Network.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This hour is completely open line. We'll talk about whatever is on your mind. Caller, your first name, where are you calling from, and what is on your mind? Okay, the caller is not there. Actually was there, but got scared and ran away. 1-800-289-1092 is the number. It's toll free. That means I pay for the call. We'll talk about whatever is on your mind. If you want to talk about the show we did last week with Michael Horn and Jeff Ritzman, you may engage in that. If you wish to talk about ghosts, psychic phenomena, remote viewing, Mars, whatever you want to talk about, it's open line. All right, caller, your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Neil from New York.
Yes, Neil.
The Michael Horn's relationship with Billy Meyer, his self-proclaimed title is the only authorized representative of Billy Meyer's experiences in North America.
Okay, so, you know, that implies that there's some formal relationship then between Michael Horn and Billy Meyer.
I can't say it's fact, but apparently they have indeed just such a contract, and apparently there may be some monies involved, you know, percentage of proceeds. Now, in normal business terms, a representative is someone who sells something for another, okay, or represents, you know, for example, the manufacturer's line of cutting tools, okay?
All right.
You know, they sell something. So following that limited logic, then Michael Horn is selling something.
Yes, he does.
Version of Billy Meyer, okay? Why is he selling it? Why is it that important? It needs to be sold. And what is being sold?
Well, I know where you're coming from now, but hang on just a second, Neil. I want to make sure I understand this. Almost everyone who's on any talk show, not just this one, any talk show, has a DVD or a book or, a lecture or a newsletter or something that they sell. And the reason that they do it is twofold. They want to get the information out, and they need to have some financial support in order to be in the business of getting the information out.
No, perhaps I convey myself poorly here. What I meant is not something tangible like that. He's selling the version, you know, the idea that Billy Meyer is indeed authentic, and there are truly, you know, these aliens coming in, okay? And almost rabidly attacks anyone who does not accept that. And, you know, people who call into a show or talk show hosts who, you know, don't toe that line, you know, he viciously attacks to the point where he's been literally cut off instantly on the air, you know, to dead air and, you know, some canned music for the rest of his time. What I find remarkable is, can you think of any other UFO contactee with such a representative? You know, can you think of Travis Walton with such a representative?
No, but I can think of someone in the field that has. Zechariah Sitchin. But primarily because of his age. He's elderly to the point that he's gotten where he doesn't do a lot of traveling and doesn't do a lot of interviews, and he does have representatives, yeah.
Well, no, but that's a very different, that's really more of an assistant or disciple relationship, almost a professorial student. He's, you know, basically, you know, continuing on with his work, and
yeah,
presumably will continue it after, you know, his death. But he doesn't rabidly attack anybody who opposes it, you know. Here's what we've learned. This is what Mr. Sitchin says, you know, accept, reject, you know, as you will. That is not, you know, Michael Horn. You know, you either toe the line, which, or suffer, you know, dire consequences, which, again, gets back to theosophy, which gets back to belief, you know, almost religious fanaticism. I find that very strange, okay? But then on top of it, looking at it and say, okay, and I realize I'm looking at it with human vision and logic, which certainly would not be that of any alien species, but why pick Billy Meier? This, if you've been studying us for centuries or eons, okay, why pick Billy Meier as the best human to convey your authentic information? You know, meaning, is he the best instrument we could use? And certainly, you know, now that this has been going on for decades, they must have learned by now that this wire is not very efficient to, you know, convey this high voltage information, let alone get more information from these Earthlings back to us. You know, if, for example, you put yourself out to be college educated, anyone, you know, else in the public would expect you to have a certain comportment, intelligence, you know, ability to discuss, write, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just normally, regardless of your major, all right? If you sound like you're someone from the, you know, inner ghetto and can't read and write and can't think and only can, you know, swear like a rap star, then, you know, we're going to doubt your claim to college education. I look at these claims of these aliens, and I got to say, okay, you're from a higher civilization, all right, and you can do this, and you can beam craft and all this other stuff. Not only where is the proof, okay, but where is the resulting technology or information? You know, I find it just highly suspect that as generations change, and you can read it in our 14 literature, okay? You know, you go all the way back to Charles Fort. These sort of phenomenon kind of get on the latest bandwagon that's kind of the buzz in the public. For example, the great airship mysteries in the 1890s,
mm-hmm.
All right? They were warning us of this terrible war to come in the Havana with Spain and, you know, people that, you know, had contact with the airship inhabitants,
mm-hmm.
you know, were told, you know, directly of this, and, you know, we've got a great gun we're going to wipe out the Spanish with. I mean, this went all across the Midwest, 1897, you know, from New Jersey all the way down into Texas. You know, you of course know about the famous UFO crash down there.
Sure.
But, you know, a generation later, okay, in the 1920s, it was, you know, war is going to kill mankind. You've got to stop it. Right in line with, say, for example, you know, the horror at the, you know, the lost generation of World War One. You know, by, you know, just after World War Two, 1947, it's nuclear weapons are going to destroy you. Okay, and then, you know, the message changed again in the 60s, changed again in the 70s, 80s, 90s. You know, it'll continue to change, but it's not necessarily authentic. I mean, if you go back to, you know, very early UFO type incidents, say like in the medieval ages, like there's a church in France where apparently, you know, a anchor from some sort of skycraft,
yeah,
caught into the church, and, you know, according to the reports, you know, an occupant swam hand over hand down the rope to attempt to loosen it, And I think it was, you know, right near the door because the church-going local peasantry quickly captured him and thought he was a devil. You know, he spoke a different language, different clothing and stuff. And the local priest, you know, prevented him from doing that, probably recognizing that he was some sort of creature rather than an inhuman. And he quickly sprang back up the rope, and away he went. They cut the rope, and the anchor apparently remained where it was for, you know.
Well, you got to kind of wonder what super high technology they thought they were using when they used a rope and an anchor.
Right, but, you know, that maybe that was something they, you know, maybe that if it was indeed exactly that, that's what I would say. What kind of high technology is it that not only can fly in the medieval, you know, say the 14th century, but would have to use something as primitive as an anchor in order to remain stationary. You know, it sounds more like a balloon than anything else, you know, but again, it's just startling. So I look at the Billy Myers and I say, where's the proof? You know, give us a little gizmo even, you know, a little handheld device that can have infinite energy that we can power a house with, say, or a car.
So I take it then that you come down on the side of Billy Myers' case is a hoax, in your opinion.
No, I mean, like you, I'm an agnostic. I find it doubtful. I find it remarkable there isn't any evidence either way, which tends to tell me that if this is authentic, you should have scads of evidence, okay, that it's true, all right? All I'm saying is Billy Myers and his authorized North American representative, perpetually on top show, Michael Horn, hasn't provided the least proof. You know, of this being authentic, let alone some genuine technology or evidence of not of this Earth origin. You know, a piece of metal even that shows it couldn't have been made here on Earth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And one would expect the aliens could at least do that. You know, if you know, yes, we're here. Here's pictures of us to prove, but we won't give you any other proof that we're here. You know,
yeah, I think you make a good point.
That makes it extremely unlikely if you say the weight of evidence on the scale of justice. There's nothing on the pro side, and there's, by lack of evidence, I got to say, the scale tips towards negative. But
okay, Neil, I hate to do it. We're going to have to move along, but I do appreciate the call, and I think you've made some very, very good points. And I have to say that I remain on this issue agnostic. But again, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. All right, folks, 1-800-289-1092. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind. Seems like the debate we had that we aired last week between Michael Horn and Jeff Ritzman is very much on everyone's mind. We had, if you didn't hear that debate, we had some, I don't know if I would call it problems. Our telephone system just got overloaded. We were using an old backup system. Tried to answer a call, and that didn't work. And we were just not able to answer calls, so we just let the guys debate all the way through the show. And so it's been very much on your minds, I see. And that's good. We've had calls from people who say, I think the Billy Meyer thing is real. We've had calls this evening from people who say, I don't buy it. You know, I don't, and here's the reasons. And but again, it's open line. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, except, of course, politics. We don't talk about politics. Other than that, it's open. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Trey Atlanta again. I just want to make a couple of points about the last caller. It sounds like I just mentioned about the condescending. Why would you contact this hillbilly? Or whatever, and why would you contact someone with a college education, or maybe some? Well, maybe because you know they figured out that their brains get put in a box as soon as they leave college. That's one reason. Maybe they didn't go find someone. And another reason for this guy to have a contact, he's just some guy out in the middle of the boondocks. He's some country guy in the middle of nowhere. And if you know if he's going to tell his story, what's he going to need? Well, somebody who's been in the media before who actually do it. And not worry about the ridicule. And
well, you know, one thing let me throw in there. I know there are many, many people who listen to the show who are Christians. And, you know, the Christian story, where it all started, and this is the Christmas season, it was a peasant girl, and she was engaged to a carpenter. these were not, this was not a rabbi in the Sanhedrin and his wife, you know?
Yeah.
So, point well taken. I appreciate the call, Trey.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092 is the toll-free number. And it's a hot subject. See, this is a thing that really sort of amazes me, is that this is, as our previous caller, Neil, pointed out, this is old stuff. This is old information. It's decades old. But look how hot it is. It's been around for a while, and it's still hot. I think it's going to be hot for a long time. And, you know, the interesting thing is that we have people in the audience on both sides of this case that present really good comments, good ideas, and, you know, pro and con. You know, one of the things, though, that is really, really hard to get people to do, It was even hard to get Michael Horn and Jeff Ritzman to do this, and that is to stay with the evidence. And, you know, a person's motives, a person's, look, you know, you can have a guy with the worst motives in the world, but if he's got rock-solid evidence, the evidence is the evidence. On the other hand, you can have a guy with the best motives in the world, and if the evidence is no good, the evidence is no good. You know, just stick with the evidence. And I don't know if we'll ever get to a conclusion one way or the other on that case. It's been going on for a long time, very, very long time. And I suspect it's going to continue for a very long time. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Michelle from Quebec.
Yes, Michelle.
Yeah, a couple things about Billy Myers.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a great tree education, but he left home at 16 and went to 40 countries and had every job you can think of on the map, right down to snake catcher.
Mm-hmm.
So the man is very, very intelligent. And it was one thing, I was the one that was on the line so long that night he was on, because I have one question that nobody's given any answers to.
Okay, what is it?
Broken. It was locked in one place. Now, they don't say if it was the shutter speed or the f-stop. I've never seen that. And nobody ever says what films he uses, what speed they were.
Mm-hmm.
So this, because if his camera was locked on a speed, all his pictures would be either in the daytime, they would be great focus or out of focus.
Mm-hmm.
At night, you know what I mean? It depends all on where the camera was broken.
Yeah.
And it depends also on this film.
Michelle, we're up against a break. I hate to do it. I want to thank you for the call. I think you've given us some great information. Do you want to hang on through the break?
Yeah, I can.
All right. We're talking with Michelle from Canada, and he's going to hold. Michelle, you won't hear anything during the break. We will. We'll be back.
This is Charles Hall.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist Stanton Friedman.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Hardcastle.
This is Jason Martell, researcher into the ancient astronaut theory.
You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show, the number one talk show choice of many galaxies.
Humans have built a glorious civilization. We have spanned the globe with cities that reach the sky. And it's all going to end in the blink of an eye. So frightening, you'll wish it wasn't real.
Survival is going to be everybody's priority.
The Horizon Project. Order now at thehorizonproject.com or call toll free 866-607-8439.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com. You know, for quite some time, I have been talking with you about the phenomenal resort accommodations, the Bath Street Apartments, in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. Now it's time for you to see for yourself. Go to KevinSmithShow.com and click the Bath Street banner at the top of the page and see for yourself why Bath Street Apartments should be your next vacation destination. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forms, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on final approach, ladies and gentlemen. That means we've got about 8 minutes. And then we have to bring this one in for a landing. It's been a great show, though, huh? We're talking with Michelle from Canada. Michelle, I'm sorry I had to cut you off. You had another couple of points, I believe, that you wanted to make.
Yes, Deb's question about the picture, the tree, that was taken from an 8mm film.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a 35mm, it wasn't a still shot. So it wouldn't, it was a little bit harder to work with the technology they had at the time.
Okay.
Just for them points anyway, but like I said, there's quite a few questions that you know, for photographers, they never bring out or they never talk about.
Yeah, now what you're talking about, when you talk about the speed of the film, for those who don't know, I do know this, we're talking about an ASA rating. That means how sensitive the film is to light.
That's right.
And so, for instance, if you want a stop action, you would use something 400 or above.
Well, I would feel like, I think Billy was using 50. And he was using, because he had to use a tripod.
Yeah.
To take his pictures with one hand, and he must have had, you know, like the old days, they had a pump where they squeezed.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's a trigger, a wire trigger, you can trigger your camera. So Billy was taking pictures with one arm, with a 35 millimeter, he wasn't holding it.
Mm-hmm.
He had it on a tripod.
Yeah.
So, you see, so he's already set up. I'm not trying to go one way or the other with Billy Myers, because his prophecies outweigh his pictures. But when the guy was talking about the ray gun picture,
mm-hmm.
that's nothing. The pictures of him with dinosaurs, where they took him to another planet, or the satellites around Mars back in the 70s with American flags on them,
mm-hmm.
but these are pictures that don't get talked about much.
Well, where can we see those pictures?
Well, there's, I think on Google, there's something about one. There's so many stories about, I can't tell you which one about Billy Myers, but I know there's one with a guy with a photo album. It's supposed to be Billy Myers pictures.
Oh yeah, I have seen that.
Okay, well then, see, Billy never has made any pictures. The Mr. Stevens you were speaking of before is expert in Billy Myers. He was over with Billy Myers. He spent years with Billy Myers.
Yeah, he investigated that case rather thoroughly.
Yes, and he always had trouble with that, to getting pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because a picture, with the technology today, you can pretty well tell what they are, fake or not.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, like I say, Billy Myers is quite a story. Just a story is worth, if it's true or not, what a great story.
It is indeed an interesting story. Michelle, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Folks, we have time for one more real quick call. 1-800-289-1092. If you've got some thoughts, some comments, something you want to discuss, that's the number to call. And for the past few minutes, I have not checked our flash messages, so let me do that and see. Let me just see what we might have. Yeah, you know, the Billy Meyer case, I agree, whether it's true or not true, what a great story. Thoroughly interesting. And but, you know, I also agree with Neil. There's a lot of stuff that's recent that is also a great story. and that we ought to be thinking about and talking about and investigating as well. When we had Michael Horn and Jeff Ritzman on for the debate, I asked, I think it was during the debate, it might have been when I just had Michael Horn on and Jeff called in, but in one of those shows, I asked Michael Horn, are the contacts continuing with Billy Meier? And he said, yes, indeed they are. And so the story continues. And, you know, I guess the body of work, the body of evidence continues to grow. Whether or not that evidence proves to be credible. In the final analysis, I also agree with Michelle. What a great story. Really ought to be made into a movie. I think it would be really entertaining. Again, if you wish to call, I've got time like right now for another call, and then we're going to be out of time. Have you ever had times in your life when you unaccountably just knew something? Have there been instances when you modified your behavior for no logical reason and it had important results? Has that happened? Has there ever been a time when you believed that you had a psychic dream? Did you ever dismiss a color or a light that perhaps might have been an aura? Have you seen the dead or signs of them? Did they speak to you? Have you ever dreamed about an event that had nothing to do with you, and then you learned that that event came true? Have you ever thought that you had a sixth sense about people? You know, you just sort of sense this is a good person, or you just sense that this is someone you should avoid. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever made a successful business decision based on a hunch? Have you ever just known that the phone or the doorbell was going to ring, and then it did? And further, have you ever been thinking about someone like your Aunt Susie, and then the telephone rang, and it was Aunt Susie? Well, according to Jeffrey Wands, the author of a book called The Psychic in You, Understand and Harness Your Natural Psychic Power, according to him, these are signs that we all have psychic ability. It's innate in us, he says. I've had several people who are psychics that have been on this show that say the same thing. And I just went down through this list, and there are nine things here. And of the nine things in his list, I have had five of those things happen. And I wondered about it. And I think we're going to do a show where we talk about these signs of psychic abilities. According to him, if any of these things have happened to you, then these are signs that you do have innate, inborn psychic ability. Now, for a long time, I have said I'm not psychic. But, you know, I looked at these. I found five things that have happened to me that those are signs that you have this innate psychic ability. So the next time we have an open line show, I think we're going to bring that up, and we're going to be talking about that, and we'll be asking you to sort of share with us what has happened to you. Folks, we're out of time for tonight. I wish we had more time. I love getting to talk with you, and I appreciate each and every one of you who called in. You make the show happen. And so the next time we have an open line show, I hope you'll do the same thing. It amazes me, impresses me, interests me, and informs me when you call in with your thoughts and comments. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. And you can call me whatever you'd like. Just keep coming back again and again and again. I'll be back at the same time tomorrow. Until then, so long, everybody.